Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Great Pacific Ocean Garbage Patch, we've talked about it here before, a huge stretch of plastic waste between Hawaii and California that's more than twice the size of Texas, one of five islands of plastic junk floating in the sea in ocean currents called gyres. The Great Pacific Patch was first discovered 15 years ago by oceanographer Charles Moore while on a boat race. Since then, many of us have been able to recycle plastic bags. We've put covers over storm drains and done other things to stop plastic from floating into the ocean. So surely things must be better. Charles Moore, a captain in the U.S. Merchant Marine and founder of the Algolita Marine Research and Education Institute in Long Beach, California, recently returned from a 15th anniversary trip to what he calls the plastic soup, the patch, and he joins us from Long Beach. So, Captain Moore, we welcome you back, especially because we're guessing you will bring great news of how this problem has been reduced. Yes?
No. As a matter of fact, the increase is enormous, and such that even though I've been to the area, this was my 10th visit to the area, I was shocked. I mean, I've seen it increase gradually. It went from six times as much plastic as plankton in 2001 when we published our first survey. In 2009, averaged about 36 to 1. Now I'm afraid it's going to be in the hundreds. It was just incredible to sail through trash that you could net from the bow of the boat constantly for hundreds of miles.
Hundreds,
I just couldn't believe it.
Hundreds of miles. What did you see?
Tires, toothbrushes. I mean, cups. I saw toys. I saw bottle caps. I saw bottles. A lot of the stuff that makes it to this eastern garbage patch is really old. It's been circulating around in that gyre, which is a circular current like a toilet that doesn't flush, for decades. And we just find, like, knots with no rope attached, just the knotted part, the hard part. We find corners of crates, just the corners, no crate attached. We find necks and bottoms of bottles with no sides, because all the thin stuff has been chewed off. A lot of this stuff has been reported to be missing by other scientists. They say they can't find these small bits, and part of the reason is because they've been consumed.
Well, and consumed is one of the huge problems. Tell us what this is doing to sea life.
Well, when non-nutritive, non-digestible plastic bits are consumed, they transmit toxicants. They're in the plastic from the manufacturing process, the flame retardants, the colorants, the conditioners, and then while they're floating around out there, they absorb from the sea surface pollutants, pollutants from coal-fired power plants, pollutants from runoff, pesticides, herbicides. So you've got this poison pill. And, you know, you've got the largest daily migration of life on Earth out there in these garbage patches. All these little creatures that live out there come to the surface to feed at night. And they're eating this plastic, and it makes them float, so it's harder for them to get back down and hide in the darkness during the day. So you've got this compound problem of having all these little flotation devices inside these animals that eat this stuff.
Well, and we know the effect. It's a food chain. So the little guys provide food for the slightly bigger guys, and that's not happening?
The little guys are providing food for the slightly bigger guys, and the plastic is decreasing their fitness. Oh. So that if we take these bait fish that feed the salmon and the tunas that we consume and decrease their fitness and make them hard to reproduce, we're basically shooting ourselves in the foot. We're damaging our own food chain.
Well, look, we mentioned that, especially since your discovery, a lot has been done to try to keep plastic from going into the ocean. We were railing about the fact that for years we had no way to recycle plastic bags. Now we do in some areas. But you say what? I mean, what has to happen?
Well, you know, we've got a pretty strong campaign against cigarette smoking in the United States. But the cigarette companies are doing fine. Basically, they're making cigarettes for the rest of the world. Same thing with waste plastics. You know, Asia is becoming a throwaway society like the United States. And we found Chinese refuse out there, Japanese refuse out there, not necessarily from the tsunami, but some of it from the tsunami. But the Earth is going to continue to have tsunamis and storms and all this aquaculture debris that gets washed out to sea when we have storms is part of the mix out there.
Well, and by that you mean not just fishing industry floats and nets and lines and things, but aquaculture, oyster farms, things like that.
Yeah, we actually found an island made out of a dislodged oyster farm that had floated out to sea that we could walk on. It was 80 feet long by 25 feet wide. It had solid matted rope beaches, and we walked around on it. I have got a picture of myself reading a magazine on top of one of these hills on this island out in the middle of the ocean.
So what are you saying? I mean, should industries go back to hemp and biodegradable? It doesn't feel like that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm very pessimistic. What should happen can't.
At all? Is there anything that you think can be done? I mean, can you go out there and burn these things up? No, that wouldn't work because it's plastic.
It's really an enormous area. It's not practical to truly clean up these enormous ocean gyres, but at least the manufacturers of this plastic should have some kind of a fund where they research the problem, they get out there, they get this stuff up, they start, you know, making a list of the dirty dozen and start trying to change. Because unless we begin this struggle to change the way we produce and consume plastics, we'll never get to where we want to go.
Well, but some cities, I think you say 100, have outlawed plastic bags, for instance. Scientists in Britain and the Netherlands are proposing sort of instituting a circular economy where products have to be designed with their end of life, as you put it, in mind.
That's right. It's a pre-cycling fee that the industry pays in order to create this closed-loop economy. And you have to design for this to go through the same process of polluting and then gradually improving. That's not going to get it with plastic pollution. The ocean is going to fill up with this stuff and radically change.
Well, Charles Moore, again, captain in the U.S. Merchant Marine and founder of the Algalita Marine Research and Education Institute in Long Beach, California. He bears the burden of what he's seen. Just returned from his 10th trip to what's become known as the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, or plastic soup, as he says, and it's growing. Yeah. Captain Moore, thanks for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
And we have pictures at hearnow.org. You can see him sitting on islands of huge plastic buoys, but much of this debris is just under the water's surface. And those tiny particles that don't degrade, Captain Moore took wildlife samples. He says he thinks more animals now have been harmed by eating that plastic waste than are harmed by climate change.